of Mark chapter 1.
Mark chapter 1, page 1002, which I hope you've still got open. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: 'After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.' At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him." This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, please keep that passage open in front of you. And you'll find, when you came in, you got a notice sheet. You also got one of these sheets, which has the where we're heading in the sermon. I thought I'd do these for us. Multicoloured, hopefully that helps you as well. Different colours for different points. And to help you as we go through the sermon. So you can follow this through, take it home, look at it again later on in the week. My plan is to do that every week as we go through Mark's Gospel. So do have that in front of you as well, and you can follow through and you can make notes on there as well if you find that helpful. Whatever's going to help you to focus in on God's Word. Let me pray for us. Father, please would you teach us as we look at Mark's Gospel. Open our eyes to the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Would we be in awe of him? And would we respond to him from our hearts? Amen. Okay, like I say, right from the start, Mark wants you to know who Jesus is. Within the first sentence, he tells you who Jesus is. He says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right from the word go, he says, I want you to know who Jesus is. And then what Mark does, right at the start of his gospel, is he gives us three people who announce who Jesus is. Before Jesus has said a word, three things point to who Jesus is. So Mark does a headline. He says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he says, let me show you. It's not just me telling you this. There are three things that point to who Jesus is. Look on your sheet. You'll see the first one. The first is the Old Testament. Yes, Mark is saying God is doing something new here. But he's also saying this is completely in line with the Old Testament. Let me take you back to the Old Testament to show you who Jesus is. And he gives two quotes. You see them, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3 are actually two quotes. The first one is actually from Malachi, the second one from Isaiah. And they're both saying the same thing. So you see, verse 2, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So Mark is saying, the Old Testament was announcing that someone would come. Who's going to come? Well, you see, the quote from Malachi, if you carried on that quote in Malachi, let me show it to you up on the screen. Says this, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. What's Malachi saying? Malachi is saying the Lord is going to come. God himself is going to come. Okay, and Isaiah says the same thing. You can see it in verse 3 there, can't you? A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Okay, so Mark is saying, go back to the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is announcing the Lord will come. The Lord's going to come. Now that is an amazing thing. God himself will come to his people. Is that good news? Is that actually good news? You see, in Malachi, it does depend, doesn't it? It depends what the Lord's coming to do. In Malachi, it's kind of scary news because the Lord is coming to judge. In Isaiah, it's exciting news because the Lord is coming to deliver. So as Mark introduces Jesus and says, the Old Testament is announcing the Lord is coming, is that good news? Or is that bad news? Is that good news or scary news? It depends what the Lord's coming to do. Is he coming to judge? Or is he coming to deliver? Well, you've got to read on and find out. But we're going to pause for a moment now. And we're going to sing. Because who is... You've only just sat down. Because who is this God who comes to us? It is the God of the Old Testament. The one who created all things. The one who is our maker. And so we're going to stand and sing, Behold Our God. So when the music group start, would you stand? And that is the God who created all things, the God who reigns in majesty, seated on the throne, that Malachi and Isaiah said, he's going to come to us. And Mark, at the beginning of his gospel, says, he's coming. God is coming. Now, do you notice also that in both of those quotes from the Old Testament, there is something else that it says. Someone else who's going to come. Do you see? Verse 2, it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you. And verse 3, a voice of one calling in the desert. There's going to be someone, God says, who's going to come before the Lord. Who's going to be a messenger, a voice in the desert. And Mark then says, here's the second announcer. It's John the Baptist. Verse 4, and so John came, baptizing in the desert region. John is the voice in the wilderness, in the desert. He is the messenger. And do you notice that he's dressed in a distinctive way? Just turn to the person next to you. Notice in the verses, what is it that John's wearing? Just talk to the person next to you. What's John wearing? Okay, that'll do. What was it? What's he wearing? Camel hair. Sort of, maybe sort of Del Boy kind of camel hair coat, maybe. Not quite. And what else? Leather belt, which I presume was rare then. Okay, so camel hair, leather belt. And people there would have gone, I know who you're dressed as. A bit like if someone were to go to a fancy dress party with circular glasses and a lightning strike on their forehead, you'd know that they were going as Harry Potter, wouldn't you? This is, John the Baptist is dressed in camel hair. He's dressed with, camel hair, leather belt. And that is saying, I'm dressing like someone in particular from history. Like Elijah. Elijah is described in very similar ways, dressing in a similar way. Why? Why is John the Baptist dressing up like Elijah? Well, because in Malachi, when Malachi says the Lord is going to come, he says before the Lord comes, Elijah will come. And John the Baptist is dressing like Elijah. In other words, the Lord is about to come. And what's John's message? His message is there in verse 7. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, John's saying, it's not really about me, it's about the one who's coming after me, who's going to be greater than me. Look to him, and he's going to, well, he says, I just baptize you with water, I just get you wet. I'll just get you wet and point you to the person coming next. But Jesus, the one to come, is going to pour out his Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, in other words, God himself, washing us clean, completely inner washing. And the presence of God in his people. John's saying, the one coming after me is going to do that. And throughout the Old Testament, where there are the promises of the Holy Spirit being given, it's always God doing the giving of the Holy Spirit. So John is saying, God is going to come and pour out the Holy Spirit. And so John says, was saying to them, get ready. Get ready. The Lord is coming. How do you get ready? He said, verse 4, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was saying, you've got to get baptized. Now to us, that sounds like, well, yes, of course, he's John the Baptist. Of course, he's baptizing people. That was a weird thing for people to do. And it was Jews going out and getting baptized. Now, Israelites or Jews, they didn't have a sort of ceremony of baptism for Jews. They didn't get their babies baptized or have people baptized when they became believers. Or they didn't do any of that. Baptism for them was for non-Jews to become part of God's people. If you weren't a Jew and you wanted to become part of God's people, you had to be baptized. But John here is saying, God's people, Israel, you need to be baptized. You need to start again. And do you notice where he's doing this? He's doing this in the Jordan River. Now, if you know your Old Testament history, you know the Jordan River was the river that they crossed when they first came into the land. It's like John is saying, you've got to start again. You've got to enter again. You've got to become God's people afresh. Being part of Israel, being a Jew, that's not enough. You've got to turn to God. Turn to him. Now we'll think in a moment a bit more about what repentance means. But for the moment, notice, John is saying, get ready. The Old Testament said, the Lord is coming. John the Baptist says, get ready. And then there's the third announcement. The third announcement is stunning. It is God the Father making an announcement. God the Father making an announcement. Okay, so we've seen John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes on the scene. Verse 9. He comes from Nazareth, which is a kind of nowhere place. People would have gone, Nazareth? Where's that? In Galilee, up north. Definitely a nowhere place. And baptized by John in the river. And then the focus just goes on to Jesus and God. And you kind of, the crowds and John the Baptist go out of focus. We don't know what they heard or how they responded. And Mark isn't bothered about them. He just now focuses in on Jesus and him and God. And it says, heaven is torn open. And the Spirit descends on Jesus and announces, you're my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. Do you see you've got the Trinity at work here? God, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each one is involved here in pointing to Jesus. You've got Jesus coming up out of the water. You've got the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove on Jesus. Why? Well, the Old Testament promised that the one who was to come, that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on him. And here is the Spirit coming down on Jesus, the Spirit that he was going to pour out. And the Father pointing to Jesus, saying, this is my Son, whom I love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who've been in an eternal relationship of love with one another. And now here is the Son walking around on earth. And the Father and the Spirit point to him and say, here he is. Do you see? The Old Testament said, the Lord is coming. John the Baptist says, get ready. And the Father says, here he is. God himself on earth. Before Jesus says a word, Mark wants you to know, this is God, the Son of God, God himself. As we go through Mark's gospel, we're going to see lots of people who don't know who Jesus is, who interact with him, who've got to discover who Jesus is. Most have to do that as you go through Mark. But Mark wants you and me to know as we read, right from the start, who he is, who Jesus is. But we still want to know, don't we? Is Jesus coming Is God coming to judge or to deliver? Well, we'll see more as we go on in Mark. But you do already actually see the shadow of the cross coming over Jesus right from the start. That's why we've called this series King's Cross, because it's about Jesus the Christ, the King, who is going to go to the cross. And there are shadows of the cross here, because actually when the Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased," when he says, "With you I'm well pleased," that's actually a quote from Isaiah again, from a passage which talks about a servant who will come. And you see later in Isaiah, this servant will die to deal with the sins of God's people. So even in what the Father says, he's saying, "This is my Son, this is also the servant who will come and deliver his people." Oh yes, one day Jesus will come back as judge, but here he's coming to deliver. And there's another echo, shadow of the cross coming over this. Do you notice it says that heaven was torn open? There's only one other place in Mark's Gospel where that word torn is used. Maybe you know Mark's Gospel. Just have a think. Where is that other place? It's when Jesus is on the cross. And it's not heaven torn open, it's the curtain in the temple that's torn from top to bottom, if you remember. That's the other place where there's a tearing. And again, someone declares who Jesus is. In fact, it's the first time at the end of Mark's Gospel, Jesus is dead on the cross, the curtain of the temple torn in two from top to bottom. And for the first time, for the very first time in the whole of Mark's Gospel, a human being, a person, says, "That was the Son of God." Here, the Father declares, "This is my Son." There, when Jesus dies, a human, a person, for the first time says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." See, there's a shadow of the cross already, the tearing, the declaration of who Jesus is. But we'll come on to that. So how should we respond? You might think, so what? What do we do about this? Well, we need to respond the way John the Baptist called people to respond. He called people to repent. That's what he said, isn't it? Repent and be baptized. What does repentance mean, though? Now, I think we can have a misunderstanding of what repentance means. Maybe it's just saying sorry for bad things and saying, "Oh, I won't do that again." Actually, repentance is a much bigger thing. Repentance is a wonderful revolution. You see, we tend to live our lives with ourselves at the centre. We know, don't we, the planets all go round the sun. Well, we like to think, we don't think it explicitly often, but we all tend to think, "I'm in the middle. I'll live with me in the middle of my life. It's all about my life. It's my money, it's my work, it's my home, it's my family, it's me, it's mine. It's all about me." Oh, now you might think, "Well, I do plenty of good things for other people." Oh, yes, we do. But don't you find actually generally we're still in the middle? We'll think about this more next week, about what repentance means, because it's the first thing Jesus talks about when he comes on the scene, when he speaks. So we're going to think about it more next week. But that's the way we are. And the Bible calls that sin, that we live with ourselves in the centre and everything needs to revolve around us. But here's the problem. Everyone is trying to do that. We're all trying to be in the centre of our lives and we clash with one another. And it's what Paul Tripp, who's a pastor in America, calls kingdom of self. We're all kings of our own lives. Now, repentance is a wonderful revolution. It is actually saying, you know what? I'm not going to be king of my life. I look at who Jesus is and I see he is the king. He's the Son of God. And I need to put him in the center of my life. Now, we need to be careful here because sometimes when people become Christians or when people encourage others to become Christians, they say, take yourself off the throne of your life and put Jesus on the throne. Now, that's not bad, but that seems to be saying Jesus is in the wings. He's kind of not on the throne yet. And you need to take yourself off and then put him on the throne. Actually, what you see in Mark is Jesus is already on the throne. He is the king. He is the king of the whole universe. And actually what we need to do is get into line with the way the universe is by taking ourselves off the throne of our lives and bowing before Jesus and recognizing he is king. He is the Lord. So repentance is a wonderful revolution. It's taking yourself out of the center and saying, actually, Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, you're my King. I bow before you, I submit to you with my whole life. And there's a wonderful thing that God says to everyone who repents. There's a wonderful thing God says to everyone who repents. You see, Jesus says, and John actually records it in his gospel, that the Father loves those who repent, those who've turned to Jesus, as he loves the Son. Okay, so the Father loves those who repent, those who put Jesus in the center, loves those people as he loves the Son. Which means, if you're trusting in Jesus, what you're saying is, I will take myself out of the middle, recognize Jesus is King. And what God does then is to say, I love you as I love my Son. Which means, God says to you and me, you are my Son. You are my child, with whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Now, in this verse, you go, okay, that's God saying that to Jesus. The Father saying that to Jesus. But we know from what Jesus says that the Father loves us as he loves the Son. And therefore, J.C. Ryle says this, Tim Keller says this in his commentary on this. And they're right to say, when God looks at you, if you're trusting in Jesus, he says, you're my child and I love you. With you I'm well pleased. Isn't that what your heart needs? Don't you long for that? Haven't you longed for that for your whole life? For someone, maybe someone in particular, to say to you, I love you. I am well pleased with you. There is nothing more you need to do. I am well pleased with you. And God says, if you have taken yourself out of the center, recognize Jesus as King, he says that to you. I love you. With you, I'm well pleased. So have you repented yet? It's a wonderful thing to do. If you haven't done it yet, how about today? Maybe you need to find out more. Keep coming along to these sermons as we go through Mark's gospel. And actually, repentance, as we're going to see next week, is something we need to keep doing. Because battling with ourselves in the middle and needing to take ourselves out and bow before Jesus. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, that already as we look at him, as we see the three things announcing who Jesus is in Mark's gospel, we are in awe of him, that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And we pray you would help each one of us and everyone in this area and the people that we know to bow before King Jesus. And Father, we praise you for that. You say to us that you love us and you're well pleased with us. Amen.